Hey guys, what's up, and welcome back to another coffee talk. Only today I'm drinking a tea, and the quote on today's tea says, "What a desolate place would be a world without a flower," by Clara Lucas Balfour. And this is, I'm trying a roasted dandelion tea. I don't know why, it was yellow. I literally chose it because of the color today. Update on the tea. Didn't like it. Kind of tasted, I don't even know, grassy? Anyway, just wanted to let you know. Didn't love the tea. I wanted to sit and chat with you guys today about a multitude of things. I'm making this a bit of a routine of mine to just make a tea, sit down, and before I embark on my filming day, to just have a chat with you guys, because that's really what I started my podcast for. All the way back when, in 2018, the idea or the premise, and still to this day, is it's like sitting down with a friend over a cup of coffee or tea and just talking about life. And I'm still here today doing that, but I definitely think along my journey, along many of the projects that I do, I feel like I tend to sometimes overcomplicate it and think too hard about it and try to officiate myself a little bit more in my presence online, and then I go through the cycle or loop of concluding that I kind of had it right at the beginning and I should have just made it simple, keep it simple. If you have a beverage, let me know what you're drinking down below. And as our topic starter of the day, I've been thinking a lot about adaptability. So I've been thinking about adaptability a lot because I feel that even just in the last 2 years, how quickly things have changed. My personal subsectioned lifestyle has changed through my own choices. And then also too, I mean, we're in a part of history. We're writing a part of history right now. And I'll think back, I'm sure, at some point in the future about how much things like the pandemic and such changed the world and changed it for all of us. And it's obviously having its ripple effects now. And I myself have definitely been paying a bit of attention to the ripples, but trying to find that balance between, you know, keeping my finger on the temperature, but also not jumping in the pool. I guess just how much things seem to be different. And both online and offline, it's something that's been on my mind quite a bit lately. And so when I think about the discomforts that come with some change and the excitements that come with other kinds of change, I keep concluding that no matter what kind of change you're presented with, it's really just about how quickly you're able to adapt. I've done a lot of videos and chats before about non-attachment. It definitely feels like a major crucial ingredient to adaptability is not attaching. And it's such an uncomfortable concept. I know that when I first started to learn about non-attachment, as much as it excited me, it also terrified me, because we get a sense of comfort from the things that we attach to. And it's hard because a lot of the times, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we attach to the status quo, we attach to the way things are, and it's hard for us to perceive that things were ever different in the past or could be different in the future. And I feel like a lot of us have had to come to our own private awakenings in the fact of the different ways that our lives have changed and how you kind of have to let go of what once was in order to adapt to what is, right? As life is ever changing, and a lot of those changes are really far outside of our control. But it also comes, I think, with an understandable frustration at times, perhaps for all of us, maybe different seasons, we feel that frustration of having to let go of things that we once enjoyed. It's a really uncomfortable part of just human reality that no matter what angle you look at it from, having to let go of loved ones when, you know, they pass away and death is such an important part or crucial part really of existence and life, or having to let go of material attachments to the things you own when, you know, maybe you're done with your favorite shirt that you had for like 13 years, or you're letting go of an old place that you once lived to move on to something new, or you know, just anything material. Letting go of those things can also come with a lot of discomfort. And then I think also letting go of a reality, or perhaps even a character trait about yourself, or what's a better way to put that? Letting go of a part of your identity that no longer suits or fits. An example of this would be letting go of the identity of my, or part of my identity that was a city girl that lived in Toronto. I had to let go of that part of myself in order to fully be able to open up and embrace the new reality I've found myself in and that I chose for myself. And it was difficult because there's always a nostalgia that comes with letting go of things, no matter if it's people, places, or things, or even ideas, concepts, belief systems, so many different things. But there is an importance to it because it is so crucial to our ability to adapt. And our ability to adapt is so crucial to our ability to not just survive, but thrive in the new situations and circumstances we find ourselves in. Now, I don't want to get into like the nitty-gritty of the new circumstances because I myself feel like I'm still learning about them and I'm still unpacking things and I'm still trying to really figure out what is and what isn't. And that's, to be honest with you, I think that's really difficult to do with the era we're living in right now. There's a lot of fluff out there when it comes to truth. And I kind of even want to take that back because even though I believe that there can be some ill-intended truths put out into the universe, everybody, in a sense, in the last 10 years to 15 years, as the internet has given its uprise, has been given more opportunity to have freedom of speech. The ability to take their own metaphoric microphone and say whatever they would like to an extent, on the internet. I think that's also something that we're seeing change right now, which can also have its pros and cons. And so I'm not gonna go there either because that's a chat for another day. It is something that I've also been paying attention to that, you know, we are getting a new sense of guidelines and regulations on the things that we can and cannot talk about on the internet. And while part of me believed that that would be an important thing, I think I'm also starting to understand that there's repercussions. To those types of regulations and choices as well. All I'm getting at here is that when you give equal opportunity to everybody to say things and share things, it makes me think of being in like grade 7 and there was just that small few, I think it was like 2 or 3 dudes in our class that were, I'm not gonna call them bad apples because they're human beings. They were just, you know, who knows what those children at the time, because they were children, we were all children at the time, were going through, but they definitely just were up to mischief. They always got up to no good and the rest of the class got in trouble for it. That's on a way smaller scale what I feel like is happening on the internet right now, because you have that small few that will use the power of the internet for ill will. And because of that, and the true dangers that I do see and validate that can come from that, when you layer the ability to communicate and connect with the tensions that are rising out there right now, the importance of truth and factual information out there right now, the war of opinions going on out there right now, but also the censorship of, well, everybody has to think the same way or else you're a threat. Like, it's just, it's such a gray area that I feel I'm a little over my head even veering this way with our conversation, because I started with adaptability and now I'm veering into just, I guess, needing to word vomit all of these thoughts that I haven't necessarily shared yet about all of the things that at least I feel I'm paying attention to online. When it comes to adaptability, I think that there's a certain threshold that we can't surpass, that yes, human beings have always been good at adapting, otherwise we wouldn't be here right now. And we have adapted to a lot throughout history. But I think there is a threshold of adaptability. And when we go past the threshold, when we force people to adapt to things and changes too quickly, you exhaust them, numbing out, just turning it off, tuning away from it. And I can understand that as well. We all break down, we get exhausted. We, you know, you have mental breakdowns. You have, like, you break down a person's soul, you break down a person's force field, their energy. And it's heartbreaking to see that happening on such a mass scale right now. It really is. You can't uproot people that fast and expect them to thrive and, you know, expect things to run seamlessly and smoothly, and expect people not to become frustrated or break down or, you know, expel these really tough challenges and through energies in very almost toxic ways or I don't know. Anyway, that's one thing aside, but two, with adaptability, there is a call for more non-attachment. And again, like I said, this is not my expertise. I'm only having this conversation with you as friend to friend, eye level to eye level. I don't think I know more than you. I don't think I'm more superior than you. I'd love to hear your opinions on all of the topics that we cover over here, that I cover over here. The only way that you can really get to a certain healthy state of non-attachment, that you're able to adapt more fluidly and smoothly and with less force and with less, almost like having to trick yourself into adapt to things. Like, it comes with going inward. It comes with realizing that from the day that we were born to the day that we leave, all of these things come and go, but the only thing that is a constant is you and your soul and yourself. And I don't care what you believe happened before you were here, or who you were before you were here, or what, where you think you go when you're gone. But we can probably come to at least one universal truth, that you come to the earth alone and you leave it alone, right? And so when it comes to these really tough moments, these really altering moments, these shattering moments where we're all being challenged in our own ways, things are changing really quickly. We're being called to adapt to new realities in a very, very fast pace. To do so without breaking means to go inward, in my opinion, to find a way to unattach, and not to detach in an unhealthy way either. Like, I'm not saying go numb. I don't think that that helps. I think that it can definitely numb the pain in a very metaphoric sense if you need some time to heal before, you know, pulling the band-aid back off and taking a deeper look at it, at the wounds that are going on, or I don't know, I can't think of the right metaphor right now. Attached to love, attached to your life force energy, attached to the things that make you feel like you have a sense of vitality, like you have a sense of purpose, like you feel fulfilled, and let go of everything else. And if you can be strategic about those things and make those attachments more internal than external, then it'll be a lot easier to adapt. It'll be a lot easier to stay on your feet out there as everything shifts and changes. And it'll be a lot easier to take care of yourself and keep a sense of direction through all of the chaos. As we go about these chats in a more laid back kind of style, I guess we should have light topics sprinkled throughout as well. So let's always exit either with like a comment or a light topic. I like that idea. So for our end of the chat, for our lighter topic, I'm gonna give you a mini book review. I just finished Anna Green Gables this morning and I sobbed like a child. I had to finish it before I did my makeup because I knew it was gonna happen, but oh, this book warmed my soul. As soon as I finished it, I actually finally went back on Goodreads and updated all of the books that I've read so far this year that I hadn't updated since January. I'd just been stocking up my reviews on my notes app on my phone, and honestly, no real excuse. I think I just kind of fell behind updating Goodreads, and then I just kept getting used to putting them in my phone and thinking like, oh, one of these days I'll sit down and I'll import all of these to Goodreads. So today was one of those days because I finished Anna Green Gables and I just feel like I needed a bear hug with anybody else that had read this. So I try not to read reviews of a book before reading the book. So once I do read the book and write my review, then I go look what everybody else says, because then I don't feel like, you know, my perspective or opinion on the book is persuaded by anybody else's experience of it. And oh, this book, this is definitely added to my favorites. If you haven't read Anna Green Gables, it's such a classic, so I'm sure a lot of you guys have, but if you haven't and you're just looking for a really warm, kind of like a golden hour feel of a book, I feel like this is it. Not only is L.M. Montgomery's writing style just so beautifully done, the way that she describes nature, the way that she describes PEI, which also growing up as a kid going to PEI every summer, I have a lot of family there, so it was just such a warm, nostalgic read for that reason as well. But just if you haven't even been to PEI and you want to hear about it, and Anne herself, it's a book about an orphan in the 1800s who gets adopted. And they thought they were adopting a boy to help on the farm, and they end up getting a girl. And without any spoilers, it's just basically following along her growth and her upbringing. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful read. I really do wish I had read this when I was younger. I had the full set, again, my family being from PEI, so we had the full set, and I remember my sister reading them, but I never did. And I wish I had, because I feel like I would have found a friend in Anne back in the day, and she would have made me feel a little bit better about some of my weird childhood quirks. But yeah, highly recommend this read. I gave it 5 stars on Goodreads. So I'm giving this one 5 cups of coffee out of 5. And I definitely will be keeping this. This is a special edition one. It's from Anna Bond of Riffle Paper Puffin Books. If I can find the one that looks like this, I'll leave it in the description box down below, but it's just so cute. I wish they had done all of the Anne of Green Gables books in this style, but I did pick up books 2 and 3 for the winter time, and I'm so excited to read them and go back to Avonlea. And just, yeah, such a good book, such a happy September read. Now I'm gonna be starting the X-Hex, which I told you guys about in the Utober vlogs. It's a book about a baby witch that casts an accidental hex on her ex, and just feels like the perfect lighthearted read for October, so that's what I'll be reading next. And other than that, thank you guys for coming and hanging out and chatting with me today over warm beverage. I'm not sure if you'll ever catch me drinking another dandelion tea unless I absolutely need to. But I was glad that we tried some new things, we talked about some new things, and we're simplifying things over here with the Coffee Talk. And I'd love to hear your perspective on anything spoken about today, or if you've read Anne of Green Gables, tell me your thoughts on the book. And other than that, I will talk to all of you guys in the next Coffee Talk. Bye, guys.